السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار صدق الله العظيم علماء کرام most respected brothers and also sisters listening over receivers last night I indicated that inshallah in today's Jumu'ah we will discuss a little about salat The relationship that Salat has with the Miraj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is well known. But we didn't have any much time to discuss anything about Salat. So we know Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he received this great gift of Allah ta'ala in the night of Miraj. He received the last ayat of Surah Baqarah, the last ruku of Surah Baqarah in the night of Miraj. And many other gifts. But besides that, the gift that was, the gift of all gifts was this salat, which we treat as something that is insignificant. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam via Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam a way, a means of drawing the rahmat of Allah ta'ala, of drawing the help of Allah ta'ala, of seeking the help of Allah ta'ala, the rope that was given, was this salat. Salat has been declared as the miraj of the believers. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's miraj, he was taken from the home of Ummihani, brought to the Hatim, and there his heart was removed and washed with the water of Zamzam. Now the believers, in their miraj, we are not going to ask them all to first go to the hospital, have their hearts removed, and have it washed, and then come and make salat. We know that that's impossible. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala kept a substitute for that, and that is the wuzu that we make. The wuzu that we make before our salat, that is just like that washing of the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before he was taken for miraj. It does not mean, of course, that our miraj will be exactly like the miraj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that this washing of our hands and our feet will be exactly like that washing of the heart of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with Zamzam by Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. But it does mean that it is a form of a substitute. It is a kind of a substitute that Allah ta'ala has given for the believers, for the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, that for each and every one of you it was not possible to call you up. Although Allah ta'ala had the qudrat, He could have called each and every one of us there. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was shown whatever he had to be shown and he came and informed us. And as a substitute now he gave us that before you go for your miraj, which is the salat, so then first you make wuzu. Now in wuzu we wash our face, our hands, our feet, we make masa. So this is like a substitute that we are making paki and taharat to enable us to rise above the surface of this earth spiritually. That we are standing in a state of cleanliness and purity. Ghusl is required for salat. You must be in a state of ghusl. So your body must be pak and clean from all kinds of najasat. And then we make wuzu. So this is the preparation for that miraj. Just as Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam prepared Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for that miraj. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was taken above the seven heavens. And he was brought to the presence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is what should really happen in the salat of a believer. that when he is standing for Salat, he is actually going for Miraj. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is responding and replying to everything that he is reciting in Surah Fatiha. There's no time to go into details, but I'm just trying to show you that it is a very important thing, this Salat, which the Ummah is neglecting to such a large extent. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, he is reported to have said that As-salatu imaduddin, man aqamaha faqad aqamaddin, wa man tarakaha faqad hadamaddin. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa salam, that this salat is a pillar of deen. In another hadith sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam talks about bunay al-islam wa la khamsin, that Islam is based on five pillars. That if we have to imagine Islam to be like a canopy, then it is on five pillars. The central pillar that is holding that whole tent is kalimat la ilaha illallah. So la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, that is that central pillar. And after that it is salat, zakat, fasting, hajj. So these are the pillars. So if a person keeps namaz upright, then he has kept the pillar of deen upright. And if he is negligent with his salat, he misses his salat, he is unconcerned about his salat, then he has destroyed deen. That pillar of deen has come down, so that tent will crumble, it will come down. It is an important thing. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that la sahma fil Islam, that there is no place for that person, there is no shame for that person in Islam who does not have salat. If he doesn't have salat, if he doesn't make namaz, then there's no share for him in deen. There's no share for him in Islam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that the person, if you have to look at all the other ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, then how much of virtues have been given of this salat. And the Quran Sharif itself, in so many places, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala asks that we establish salat, not just read salat. It must not be just come and go kind of salat. At present, some of us, we do make our salat, but what kind of salat do we make? So in the Quran Sharif, the word that is used is iqamat of salat, to establish it, taking consideration of all the etiquette, of all the manners, the recitation that is required in the salat. It must be done properly and correctly. The ruku, the sajda, the qiyam, there must be no haste, no rush. The person must make salat in an appropriate manner because he is standing before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Imagine the person is now going for Miraj and his mind is not there. Allah ta'ala is saying that I want to call you for Miraj now. Now if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that night when he was being taken for Miraj, now he says, no, my heart is not there. My heart is here. I don't want to come up there. What would have been the condition? Now that salat which is the miraj of the believers, so then our hearts also must be there. When we are standing before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we should read those incidents in the lives of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and see how they stood. And the awliya e kiram, how they make the salat. Of course when the person is imam, then we will say man amma qawman fal yukhaffif, because if that imam has to read 11 times tasbih, then we won't wait for the next namaz. The imam has to take long in his sajda, in his ruku, more than the normal qiyam and sujood takes, then we will disappear from that masjid. We'll say, no, that masjid, the salat takes too long. So therefore the imam, because there are people who are weak, sick, and there are people who cannot stand very long, so many other considerations have to be taken into. Therefore the imam makes salat which is light on the people, the congregation, according to the sunnat method. But when the person is reading his individual salat, then at that time the person must develop that consciousness, read, make longer rukus, longer qiraat, longer sajdas, so that he experiences a bit of that uruj, of that lifting up to the heavens as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was given. Now can any one of us really take qasam and say that when we stand in our salat, we also experience some kind of uruj? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that there is no shame for that person who does not have salat in his life. And the person who combines two salat without any legitimate and valid excuse, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the person has entered the door of major sin. How many of us combine our salat? Why? Because we're very busy. The shop was packed with customers, we didn't have the time to make salat. Asr time, if it is 4 o'clock, how can we close? And if we are working for somebody, how can we make salat at that time? If the person has to go to the toilet, he doesn't delay it from 4 o'clock right up till 5 o'clock. If he has got an urge to go to the toilet, he can't restrain himself, then what does he do? He says, no, because it's very busy now, we'll hold on till 5 o'clock. So we find time for that. We find time for our tea. So the person can find time if he is a little distance away from the masjid. At least he can put musalla somewhere there and make salat. Although that negligence also, if it is masjid that is nearby, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that man sami'a munadiya yunadi, man sami'a munadiya yunadi ila salat, man sami'a munadiya Allah yunadi ila salat. The person who hears the muazzin calling towards salat and he doesn't respond, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that his salat at home is not valid. The person, if he makes his salat without any uzr, without any excuse at home. In one hadith, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was asked that what is that excuse, then he said it is sickness. If the person is sick, then that is an excuse. Or even if the person is fearful, that if he is going to go outside, somebody will kill him, murder him. But this I mentioned many times, that now we make use of that excuse that we come out Fajr time, then there's great danger of hijacking and murders and killings. But yet that same person, if he has to undertake a journey somewhere, if he has to go on a trip overseas, if he has to go for a wedding and he has to leave early in the morning before Fajr, then at that time the person doesn't make that excuse. So here we are talking about genuine fear. It's not perceived fears. So that is an excuse. But if without that legitimate excuse the person makes his salat individually alone, then it is not even valid according to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then if you look at those hadiths in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam talks about the only differentiating factor, the only line that separates the believer from the disbeliever, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says is the salat. That if he misses his salat, it is as if he has committed kufr. Now what a harsh word. If we have to use that kind of word, the person gets angry. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, man taraka salata mutaammidan faqad kafar. The person who left out a salat purposely, then he has committed kufr. And I mentioned this many times, that we must be very, very grateful to these muhaddiseen and the mujtahideen and the imams of fiqh and jurisprudence, that they gave us some explanation that what it means is that this person has committed an act which is similar to that of the kuffar, that they don't make salat. But he is not a disbeliever as long as he doesn't reject the farziyat of salat, meaning the compulsion of salat. If he doesn't reject, then he's still a believer, he is not out of the pale of Islam. But going by the literal meaning, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, as the Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh, they all go by the literal meaning, and they say if the person is purposely foregoing his salat, cricket match, football match, rugby match, watching television, weddings, nikahs, walimas, business, he's just missing salat without any real valid reason, he's foregoing his salat and making qaza, then they go by the literal meaning. They said that this person is out of the pale of Islam. He must make nikah again. He must read kalima and make nikah again. If he doesn't do that, then the children that will be born of that marriage will be illegitimate. Now just imagine what a hard-hitting fatwa that is. We are very fortunate that Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says, no, it's not that. The person will still be a believer, his nikah won't break. The only thing is that this person, he will be arrested and put into prison until he makes up his mind that now he's going to make salat and all the details that go with that. Nevertheless, so this salat which was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was a gift. We haven't appreciated this gift. We haven't learned to solve our problems by making use of salat. We say this is a world of means and we must make use of means. So therefore we run to the bank manager, we run to our family members, we run to our suppliers, and we go around by everyone that we can assist and help us. But we haven't as yet learned to make use of this, which Quran Sharif itself declared as a means of drawing the help and assistance of Allah Ta'ala. So if we have tried so many other means, why don't we try this mean too first? Because Allah Ta'ala says, Ista'inu bis sabri was salah. Seek the help of Allah Ta'ala with salat and with patience. Now if Allah Ta'ala is saying that you want my help, and whose help do we really want? We want Allah Ta'ala's help. Because only if Allah Ta'ala decides, then it's going to work. Otherwise our shops will be open, the doors will be wide open, and no customers will come inside. Or if customers will come inside, they will buy, they will purchase, and we'll get plenty of money, but we'll get restlessness, anxieties, worries. That same money will become the means of our restlessness. If Allah Ta'ala does not want to put barakat into our earnings, then He'll give us plentiful, and then He'll put restlessness in the same thing. Now the person doesn't know where to store it, he doesn't know where to keep it, he doesn't know how to use it. Every time he's got the fear of the receiver of revenue. So much of problems we have when we have money. And when we don't have, then too we have problems. So barakat will only come when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives it with His pleasure. When Allah ta'ala will give us wealth with His pleasure, then only barakat will come. Otherwise there'll be no barakat. Otherwise it will be just like that rat that is given a very delicious piece of cheese. But for what is it being given that cheese? So that it may be trapped. But we also feed our pigeons and we feed our pets, but we feed them with happiness. We don't give them so that they get trapped. So Allah Ta'ala can also give both ways. He can give with His happiness and He can also give with His anger. And unfortunately most of us are getting it with the anger and the ghazab of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Therefore we see that that wealth is not bringing happiness, it's not bringing peace, it's not bringing contentment, it's not bringing satisfaction, it's bringing fights, arguments, problems, court cases, murders, killings. That is what that wealth is bringing. So is that barakat? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, the person who misses just one salat, if the person misses, it is as if he has lost all his wealth and all his family. Just one namaz the person is missing. And who is saying it? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. We must always keep in mind who is saying it. Because when we hear it from an ordinary human being like us, then we take it for granted that this is our stories which people always talk about. But we must believe that it was said by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. We can go to the authentic books of hadith and look it up. Then if he has said it, then he has said nothing but that which Allah Ta'ala has inspired him with. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Whatever he says, it is what he was inspired by Allah Ta'ala. He didn't say it of his own whim and fancy. So if he has said it, then it means Allah Ta'ala has said that. That if you miss your one salat, then it is as if you have lost your entire family and your possessions, your wealth and everything. Now in the tsunamis and in all other kind of disasters, when everything is washed away, how much we cry over those people's losses. And especially if that person himself is involved, we must all ask for protection. We must not think we are very holy. But the fact is that the person who loses his wealth and property and possession, and family also, everybody gone, no money left, no children left, no wife left, no father and mother left, everything gone. What a loss that person has suffered. Now does any one of us really think that we have suffered that kind of loss when we miss one salat? Does anybody think that we have really suffered that kind of loss? To us it is nothing. It is as if some fly was sitting on the forehead and we moved it away, that's all. No real pain. In the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in the time of the Tabi'een, or after that also, they said that if a person is to just miss, he is to just miss his takbir-e-tahrima, the first takbir, and they again, the ulama, we must thank them, the mashayikh and the mujtahideen, that they have told us that even if the person gets the surah Fatiha or even the surah, then too he still got takbir tahrima. But the best is to get it at the time of Allahu Akbar. So they say the person who missed his takbir tahrima, for 3 days we used to go and make taziyat, like how you go and give your condolence to a person whose father, mother, children, somebody passed away, then you say, we're very sorry to hear about it. May Allah Ta'ala give you sabr. May Allah Ta'ala give you ajar. She said, that is how we used to go and give taziyat to that person that he missed his takbir-e-tahrima. And if the person actually missed his salat with jama'at, then for 7 days we used to tell him, what a loss, what a loss. May Allah Ta'ala protect you in future from such kind of loss. He said, that is the kind of feeling we used to have over it. Hazrat Hatim Zaid, Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Asam Radhi asked him, he said, how do you make your salat? He says, my salat, this is how I make it. That when I am standing, then I stand as if I am standing on Pul Sirat. The place on which I am going to make my salat, it is as if I am standing on Pul Sirat. That bridge which every person will have to cross on the day of Qiyamah. The sinful ones will fall into the fire of Jahannam. Some people will cross it like lightning and some at different speeds, depending on their actions and deeds in this world. The person who was particular about Sharia and Islam and Deen, then he'll be able to cross it. So he says, I picture myself standing on Sirat, on Pul Sirat. And thereafter I picture that the Kaaba Sharif is in front of me. Allah Ta'ala has given us imagination. What a power He has given to us in our heads. We use it for fantasizing about women and about pictures and about porn sites and all kinds of things and filthy things come into our mind and we enjoy those fantasies. Use this imagination, fantasizing of being in the presence of Allah Ta'ala, for imagining that we are at the Kaaba Sharif. The Kaaba Sharif is right in front of us. Or when we are reading Durood Sharif, we are at the Rosa Mubarak, at the graveside of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or in Masjid-e-Nabawi. Now, how long does it take to picture those things? What an imagination power Allah Ta'ala has given to us. So he says, I picture myself standing on Pul Sirat, and I picture myself standing before the Kaaba Sharif, that I'm making my salat there. And thereafter I picture or imagine that the Jannat is on my right, and hellfire is on my left. He says, I picture Jannat is on my right, hellfire on my left. And then I imagine that the angel of death is just behind me. As if the angel of death has told me, informed me, that, oh Hatim, this is the last salat of your life. That is what I picture. Say, then I make Allahu Akbar. When I make Allahu Akbar, he say, I make it with the azmat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in my heart, the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. Then when I'm reciting the qiraat, I'm pondering and reflecting over what Allah Ta'ala says in that. I make my ruku and sujood and all with humility. And I complete the salat also very, very calmly. And thereafter I fear that Allah Ta'ala must not reject this salat. After making it like that, I fear Allah Ta'ala must not reject it. But I have great hope in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that out of His mercy and kindness He will accept it. So he was asked that, for how many years are you making this kind of salat? He said, for 20 years I am making this kind of salat. Now how many of us made even one salat like that? So salat has got a kind of a noor. We haven't experienced that noor because we haven't made a salat like that. We just get up from the television box and straight into the masjid, and half the time we are still outside when the salat is beginning. We don't want to come to the first saf and sit down. We come to the masjid, we will still be sitting right outside, talking away, gossiping, chit-chatting, idle talk, or even discussing those things which are not to be discussed in the masjid environment. Although we know that is a sehen section, it's permissible. That is why we have our nikahs there. People ask that, why don't you have nikah in the masjid? Because it is sunnah to have it in the masjid. But if it is sunnah to have it in the masjid, but when people are indulging in haram, the majority indulge in haram in the masjid, so then it is better to forego that sunnah and make it somewhere where they don't get the sin of being in haram. Talking of all worldly things immediately after the nikah in the masjid, not even concerned that we are in the masjid, in the house of Allah Ta'ala. The adab and the etiquette of the masjid are not being fulfilled. So at that time it's better to have it in the sehen, so that after the nikah they can talk how much they want that side, but they won't get that sin of being in the masjid. So when we make salat like that, then it takes the person high into that miraj that we are talking about. It goes there. That is where the person goes after that. Once again, the time has expired, and one day the time will come for us to expire also. So may Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that before we expire, before our life expires, We make sincere tawbah over all those salats that we have missed in our lives, and we try to fulfill the qazas. And then see when we make salat like that with khushu and with khuzu, what Allah Ta'ala gives into our hearts. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala bless me, bless you and the ummah with the tawfiq of making salat 5 times a day. And that was the gift of Mi'raj. May Allah remove the difficulties, hardships and problems of the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and of all mankind.